Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from City Harvest Church, Orange County. To find out more information about City Harvest, please visit chcus.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in CHCUS.
Joining us this morning. Wasn't it a fantastic atmosphere of presence of God here in this place? Right. Last week, Pastor Derek preached on Can I Get a Witness? Yeah. Were you here last week? If not, you probably have heard it over social media. But he said this, the gospel is all about come and see and go and tell, right? Come and see, go and tell. But my question to you is this. Why would the world want to come to church? What are they coming to see? Are they coming to hear some men, some women? My husband is a great preacher. How many of you think he's a great preacher? He's a sermon generator, right? Well, he's a great preacher. But how many of you know there are many, many eloquent preachers out there? Are people coming to church just to listen to a motivational speech? Well, anyway, Tech Talks has lots and lots of motivation. You know, are people coming here to church to just sing along in their praise and worship? Let me tell you, there are greater entertainment out there in the world. So why do people come? Why must they come? They are coming because they want to know if this Jesus is real. If God is real, is there power to transform my life here in church? Is there a way that I can get out of my destruction into destiny? Is there a power here to transform my life, to overcome my challenges, overcome my addiction, overcome my sense of rejection and abandonment, to bring me into the place of destiny, of hope, and of faith? Is there transformation power in the house of God? Because the evidence of a transformed life is the ability to transform others. Good. The evidence of a transformed life is the ability to transform others. Amen? Romans 10 talks, the writer of Romans 10 says this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yet the author went one step further and asked, how will they call on the Lord if they have not believed? And how can they believe if they have not heard? And how can they hear if no one were to share the gospel, no one were to preach the word, no one will be a witness for the reality of God? Amen. That is why being a witness is so important. And that's why this morning I'm going to share from Hebrews chapter 12. The title of my message is A Cloud of Witnesses. Cloud of Witnesses. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 2 says this. Since we are surrounded by such a large cloud of witnesses, let us put aside every hindrances and every sin. Let us run this race with endurance, putting our eyes onto Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross, despise the shame for the joy that was set before him, and today seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. This morning, I want us to explore the clouds. How many of you love summer, right? One thing about summer is there's lots of clouds in the sky. When I was really researching on this word cloud, I was very surprised myself that there are so many different kinds of clouds, and they all have names. They all have names. You see, there is the stratus clouds. Those are the low-level, down-to-earth clouds. Then we have the alto clouds, where these are the mid-air, often blowing into shapes of fantasies and illusion, right? Many a times you look up at the cloud, we can see cotton candy, we can see unicorn, and some people even say that, oh, I see the face of Jesus staring down at me from the clouds. Lots of imagination. Amen. And there is the cirrus clouds. Those are the high-level, high, lofty, wispy clouds. But each cloud has its value. Some clouds will shade us from the scorching sun. Some clouds will show us what is the weather, that the rain is coming. And some clouds literally pour rain and water our gardens. How many of you had a lot of rain, right? The last few days, we have lots of rain. And it flooded my front and my backyard. But do you know the interesting fact about cloud is this, that clouds are created when water vapor, which is an invisible gas in the sky, turns into liquid water droplets. And these water droplets form on tiny particles like dust, and they convert into clouds. So clouds actually need small particles of dust in the air in order to be formed. Interesting. So let's come back to Hebrews chapter 12, where in this passage of the Bible, the author used the word cloud. And this is the only time in the Bible, whether in the Old or the New Testament, this word cloud was mentioned to describe a mass of people. If you read your Bible in chapter 11, chapter 11 was listing all the heroes of faith, men and women who had done great things, men and women who have endured pain and suffering, men and women who have made a stand for their faith. And then the author said, there are too many of them. There is no way I'm able to record all of this. Henceforth, in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, it is proven that we, the believers, the community of faith today, are surrounded by a large cloud of witnesses in heaven. But how many of you know that the world cannot see these witnesses in heaven? But today, we need to continue that work of being a witness so that the cloud can be seen here on earth. Amen. But every cloud starts with a dust. And every one of us is a dust. Amen. The Bible says we are dust, and to dust we shall return. But it is the water that touches us that converts us into a cloud. When a believer goes through water baptism, you identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. When you receive Jesus into your life, you now enter from the old to the new. Therefore, you are a new creation. You carry the power of God. You carry the transformation power of God to continuously renew your life, renew your mind, transform your heart, heal your heart so that you can enter into the glorious life that God has given to us. Each of us is a type of cloud. In one way, in some way or another, we are our own witness. Some of us are Otto. Some of us are Cirrus. Some of us are cumulonimbus. Ooh, sounds very arty-farty. Well, anyway, we are all different, right? We're all different kinds of witnesses. And it's okay to be different because God has created us different. And we all have our journey. We all have our story. But no, we will not never know your story if you never tell me your story. Am I right? Nonetheless, whatever shapes and size or altitude, each of us is a witness. We are witnessing something. We are witness to something. We are witness to the reality of Jesus. We are a witness of our faith in Jesus and how through faith it continuously changed our life and will continue to change our life hereforth. Do you agree with me that what we believe is something people cannot see? Jesus is dead. He is not living in the midst of us. He's right now seated at the right hand of the Father. The faith in this man called Jesus Christ is not always seen. It's just like water in the air. There's always water in the air, but it's never seen. Just like what Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, exactly, when there is always water in the air, but that water doesn't take shape unless it comes into contact with the dust, and the cloud now give witness that the water exists in the air. Jesus is dead, guys. He's not living here. Of course, he's resurrected. I'm saying he's not walking in the midst of us. But is he alive in you? Is there evidence that Jesus is alive in you? You know, many years ago, I was called back to Singapore to be a witness in a courtroom because the organization that I was a board trustee for was going through a trial. There were processes that were being scrutinized by the prosecutor. So I was called back by the prosecutor, actually, to be a witness that there are mishandling of the processes. But because I knew the defendant, I knew the leader of the organization. So when I went back in the courtroom, I took the opportunity to give a witness to the character of the leader of the organization. You see, because I know that the judge and the prosecutor, they did not know the leaders. Now, in Singapore, we don't have a jury system, so everything is dependent on the judge. So I took that liberty and boldly declare what I have seen and what I have heard about the witnesses, about the defendant. And I believe that made an impact in the impression of the judge on the two person who ran the organization to help him ascertain whether something was done out of a malicious intention or whether it was done out of a foolish mistake. And today, that's what we're gonna do. Today, I'm gonna change this place into a courtroom. And who is on trial? I'm going to put Jesus Christ on trial. Wow. I'm going to put Jesus Christ on trial. We are going to see, is he the Messiah or is he not? Is he dead or is he alive? Is he faithful to fulfill his promise in Luke 4 verse 18? That when you come to him, that you will continuously be healed, be restored, be empowered to live a life of freedom. Yeah. So in every courtroom, you will be the jury, and I will call witnesses to testify to see if this Jesus is truly who he said he is and that he will do what he will promise, he has promised. So I want to call the first witness to the stand, and he is Timothy McCormick Sr.
Good morning, everyone. It's the first time to be up in front of everybody, and I truly know that we serve a loving God and a beautiful God. And if I wasn't ready for this yet, God wouldn't bring me here. And I think through the people that he brought me to do this, I feel the growth in my heart, and that he spoke to me, that I'm ready. And I just get a little choked up, but my story is lost, and I grew up in a loving family, and when I was young, you know, everything was like the Ozzie and Harriet days, the clean yard, clean cut, mother and father, and through the years, things changed. There was disagreements with my parents, and in my teens, they had divorced. My mom wasn't around, and I started to go out and run with the wrong crowd. I was lost. I didn't know. So it was kind of a path to destruction where your eyes are on pleasure in the natural, but you don't know. And through the years and some of the jobs I've gotten, I had a marriage which lasted in divorce, which I was, you know, it just went all the wrong way. But I had three beautiful children that God put in this world. But as I progressed, one of the guys at work used to send me scriptures. And I believe that's how the seed dropped in my heart. And I started to read these every day. And when I read these, it just did something in my heart. And later on in life, started going to church with my son, and and I thought I was real big. I'd go, and I'm healed, and I'd give my $20 donation and think, you know, I'm really, really donating to the kingdom, until I found this church, and it brought us here, brought me here. I'm supposed to be here and grow with this church as a disciple. So what I have found is that God has always been there. I found him. He didn't find me. He's been chasing me for years and years and years. And the more I read, I start reading the Bible. I'm on it for the third time. I try to engulf myself now with scripture, with radio. And the more I do that, I get up every morning, I pray, I read scripture, and it gives me strength to go out in the world. One time I thought, you know, one day I'm going to usher, and it's funny how God comes through. And Marvin came up and said, "You need to usher." I said, "You're right." But this moment, God won't ever put you in a position that he feels you're not ready for. And I feel that God has grown me to this stage, and I'm so blessed to be here and be a part of this church.
Thank you. Next, we want to call on the stand Timothy McCormick Jr.
So, my testimony is funny because it has to do with my mouth. For 15 years, I worked in a fabrication shop. And during that time, I picked up a lot of bad habits. You know, I was involved in a lot of conversations that were vulgar. So I just developed some very bad language. My wife used to get on me too about this, I remember. But you know, once I was born again, I was baptized, I came to the Lord again, I felt like this was one of the areas he wanted to put his finger on first. So during that time, I prayed about it, and I asked the Holy Spirit, like, you know, help me with this area. So during that time, he started convicting me whenever I'd get involved in some of these conversations with guys at work. He'd like kind of convict me of like, hey, you're not supposed to be using that language. Or if there was situations where there's some vulgar conversations going on, he wouldn't tell me to run. He would just kind of tell me, don't get caught up in that. You know, kind of be the one that has a moral compass. And, you know, over the months, you know, my language changed, and I'm so thankful to the Lord, you know, sorry. I'm so thankful to the Lord that he helped change my language, and, you know, because he wanted to mature me. You know, that was the next step in stepping into the kingdom. You know, he wanted me to go to that next level, and this was a small step. And another reason why I'm so thankful is that, you know, he knew that I wanted kids, so he didn't want me walking around with that language. So God took me from having a foul mouth to wholesome. So I thank
you. Amen.
Lord.
Thank you so much. Next, we will call on the stand Christina Gomez.
Hi, everyone. So my word is fear. I used to live in so much fear. Fear used to entangle me, so much so that I doubted who I was. I didn't know who I was. Fear was like my best friend. I had so many opportunities that I ran away from because of fear and doubt in myself, so much fear that when I would have simple conversations with someone, I couldn't even look them in the eye. But I knew that I wanted to grow. I wanted to grow. I knew God had more for me than living in a life of fear. And so coming to this church, I've had so many opportunities to step out. I've been prophesied over to step out of fear and into faith. And so with opportunities in speaking, taking Bible study classes, going to Bible school, I know that I have stepped out in faith in so many ways. And stepping out in faith has made me brave. So, because of that, I am more brave now to speak out in front of you all, to take more opportunities to be in the Easter production, and also to speak and witness to my friends and family and coworkers. So thank you.
Amen. Next, we want to come invite on the stand Faith Christie.
I grew up kind of isolated. My house was about a mile away from our nearest neighbor. I grew up with just my immediate family until I went to kindergarten. I was comfortable in my own little cocoon at home, but when I got out into the cold, cruel world, I was afraid to interact with anybody. When I was in kindergarten, that showed up in my report card. We had certain things we were supposed to learn, how to count to 100, learn the alphabet, the shapes, all that. It was all written out in a little report card. I can write my name. I can do this. I can do that. I did fine on my report card except for one thing. I can sing a simple tune. Now, that was a problem for me. I loved to sing, but the problem was when the teacher would call us each up to the front and say, sing this song, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And I could not do it. I could not open my mouth and sing in front of all of those kids. I was in a room full of strangers. I couldn't open up my mouth and sing in front of the teachers and the kids. I'd just stare at the floor and not say a word. So that one needs help in singing a simple tune haunted me through my life. When I got into junior high, I met the Lord. And he started to work on me. He started to build me up inside and tear down the walls I had put around myself that kept me from interacting with people. But the one thing that haunted me was that report card that said, this girl can't sing. The Lord was working on me. He was telling me, where I'm weak, he is strong. His strength is perfected in my weakness. He told me he's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And he told me that if he's called me to do something, he will equip me. And I felt like I was called to music. It was always a big part of my life. I sang all day long when I was by myself. I just wouldn't open my mouth in front of other people. I eventually got so I could sing in a choir with so many people around me, you couldn't distinguish my voice from anybody else. But the Lord was still telling me, you've got a gift, you're supposed to use it. So even though I was afraid to do it, I was so intimidated, I just got up one day and I said, I'm going to lead worship. And I did. And when that first day, the walls came crumbling down. And now I can stand up in front of all of you and sing a simple tune for the Lord with confidence.
Thank you. It makes me want to call on the stand Stephanie Arnaldo.
Hello. So, growing up, I struggled with perfectionism. I was always a perfectionist. My mom lovingly always challenged me to go higher. If I got an A, she'd ask me, why not an A+? If I got third place, she'd ask me, why not second place? And so for the longest time, I thought that was what the definition of a daughter was. But when I started to seek the Lord with all my heart, I began to realize what it was to be a daughter. And God revealed to me what it was to truly be a daughter, and that my worth and my value is found in God. Mm-hmm. Not in men, not in things, not in any way perfectionism, but in knowing that I'm truly his daughter.
Amen. Wow. Thank you. Awesome. Next, we want to call on the stand Helen Bunget. Let's give up again.
Well, a lot of everybody else has said is pretty much pertained to me too. When I was in elementary school, I was bullied a lot, and then when I went to junior high or high school, I was humiliated because I was all embarrassed because of what I said or didn't say. And then when I got to be in my, 20, 21, I was raped. And then I didn't know, I still to this day do not know who it was or what happened. But I was completely a different person after that. And about a year and a half after that, I was also raped again. But this time I had a son and gave him up for adoption. And at the same time, my father died, So anyway, Jesus came into the picture little by little, poking holes in all those walls that were put up from all my years. His compassion and his love has shown me that compassion is the one and only thing that brings us through.
Next, we want to call on the stand Destiny Brossard.
So I grew up in church. I was in church all of my life since I was a child. And when I became an adult, I decided I didn't want to be in church anymore. And so I fell into just doing what I wanted to do. And none of that brought me fruit. It gave me depression. And so I everything that was once fruitful in my life slowly started to die. But then I came to City Harvest Church. I encountered Jesus, and since then, everything that was once dead in my life came back to life.
Thank you, Destiny. Finally, we will call on the stand Patsy Freitag.
Hello. There are too many circumstances in my life to go through in just a couple minutes, but I want to just tell you that I am a domestic violence survivor, and I made a lot of choices after making the decision to leave my ex-husband that led me in a spiral of downward into darkness and many other decisions that were not healthy for my life and the life of my three girls. But after giving my life back to God and coming back to God and really understanding who I am in Him and how much He loves me and how much He has forgiven me and removed the shame of all the decisions that had been made and healed me, I found stability. And then He gave me a new husband and a new family. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the husband over there, if you do not know. Well, today, in addition to all these witnesses standing behind me, I would like to call Jehovah God for His witness of the defendant, Jesus Christ. And because Jehovah cannot be here today, He's up in heaven, we're going to read His testimony written in the scriptures according to 1 John 5, verses 6 to 12. And I would like the jury to read this together with me. Are you ready, jury? Yeah. Yes. Ready? 1, 2, 3. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Finally, in today's trial, I would like to call for the testimony of the defendant, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this, I want to say, in Mark chapter 14, the high priest stood up in the midst of the crowd, and he began to ask Jesus, "Are you the Son? Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" May it be recorded that in verse 62 of the same chapter, Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, coming with the clouds of heaven." And again, in John 8:58, may it be recorded that Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am," signifying that He was divinity, that He existed before our father Abraham, that He is God. And in John 10, during the Feast of Dedication of the Solomon's Temple, Jesus came in, and at the porch, he was cornered by a group of Jews. And in that conversation, they asked of him, "If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." May it be recorded in the same chapter, verse 30. He says, "The Father and I are one." Again, signifying that he is God and he is divine. In the same chapter, in verses 37 to 38, let it be recorded that he says that if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And in response to that, I want to ask the cloud of witnesses standing behind me, do you solemnly swear that what you just testified, the works that Jesus did in your lives, are truths and nothing but the truth? Thank you very much. Let's give them a big hand and let's dismiss the witnesses. In my closing argument today, is Jesus real or is he a fragment of our imagination? Did our faith in the Messiah transform our lives or was it just our own effort? It is evident that through this person, Jesus Christ, though he is dead in the body, through the Holy Spirit is still alive, living in the body of believers. The water that turned a dust like us into a cloud, that continues to flow in us and renew us from the inside, just like what John 7 verse 38 says, that out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. This water, this river, this Holy Spirit continue to renew the believers, transforming our minds about our future, transforming our minds about who we are, transforming our minds about our situation. This river, this Holy Spirit continues to heal our hearts, that we will be made whole again, that we can have hope again. We can have favor again. We can believe in things above and beyond whatever we can imagine or think of. The invisible water vapor on its own cannot be seen. But when we all come together, we form a big cloud for all to see. Why is that important for the cloud to be visible? Today, I want to land my argument. There are three functions of the cloud. Three functions of the cloud. Number one, the cloud points people to the covenant of God. The cloud points people to the covenant of God. In Genesis 9, verses 15 to 17, it says here, When God was talking to Noah after the flood was over, he said that I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign. This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. You see, the cloud points people to the covenant. And what is the covenant? The covenant of Abraham, the covenant that is illustrated in Deuteronomy 28, that when you believe him, when you obey him, when you follow him, that you will be blessed and all your children shall be blessed. Your kneading bowl will never be empty. Your vats will always overflow with new wine. You will have victory. You will be blessed in your incoming and outgoing. You will be above only and not beneath. You will be more than conquerors. You will be able to defy the powers of darkness and walk in righteousness and holiness. You will be able to loudly declare that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is dead, but he is very much alive inside of me. The power in you to transform you. And the power in you to transform all those who will come to drink of the water that flows out of you. Amen. Number two, the cloud protects people from the harshness of life. as we spiral into this part of history, it will get darker. The Bible says that dark days are coming. But the cloud, just like the cloud protects us in the heat, protects us from the scorching sun, do you know that the cloud, a witness, will protect the people from the harshness of life? Exodus 14 verse 19 says, "And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them." This is an illustration of the children of Israel that came out of slavery, out of Egypt. And when they were in the passageway to enter the promised land, God came, pillar of fire by night, but cloud by day to protect them, to guide them, to lead them to the promise. And because there was a cloud by day, it protected them from the harshness of the scorching sun. When you testify, when you begin to speak of what Jesus had done for you, do you know what you do for yourself? You invoke faith again. You bring to yourself remembrance again how good God is. You continuously fill your faith by what God had done for you. You see, when you share your message, when you share your testimony, you are the one that will be first encouraged and strengthened in your faith. It protects you from discouragement. It protects you from being depressed. It protects you from being hopeless. But then when you begin to share with people what God has done for you, then you also inspire faith, hope, and love in others. Amen? Exodus 14, verse 24, it says, "Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down from the upon the armies of the Egyptians through the pillars of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians." It is so beautiful. There's a lot of symbolism here. That when we, the believers, confess Jesus, what happens? The Bible says life and death are in the power of our confession. When we say something, it will manifest because there's power in our confession. So I ask you this, if you confess Jesus, will there be more evidence that Jesus is here? If you confess what the Lord has done for you, do you not think that the armies of the Lord's angel will come and encamp around you? Yes. Amen. The Bible says, those who trust in the Lord shall not be put to shame. Amen. You will never ever be ashamed when you testify of what the Lord has done. Because he will validate your confession. Because you are not confessing yourself, but confessing God. In Nahum 1 verse 3, you see that it says, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet." So for 40 years, when the children of Israel walked the wilderness, who was with them? Jehovah God was in the clouds, walking 40 years with his people. Symbolically, I want you to know that God will validate and walk with you. If you confess him before men, that the Lord will confess you before the Father. So the cloud protects people from the harshness of life. Number three, the cloud prevails over the destruction of demons. The cloud prevails over the destruction of demons. Revelation 12, verse 11. Can we read this together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." How can we overcome principalities and powers? The Bible says three things. Number one, the blood of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus was already shed for all of us. The second and the third thing, you have to do it, which is you must not stop to testify of what God has done for you, and you need to keep confessing. Finally, you must not love your life. You must not love your life to the death. Let me tell you this. This gospel that we preach about, this word this word of God is either the greatest deception of all humanity, or it is the power of salvation for all.
Yes.
A gospel that's not worth dying for is not worth living for. A gospel that's not worth dying for is not worth living for. So why are we, if we truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah, if we truly believe He has the power to change our lives, you see, if you truly believe that through His death you can have everlasting life, if you truly believe that when He comes into your life, you can overcome anything. If you truly believe that He is the God that's able to cancel your debt and bring you to a place of prosperity. If we truly believe, then my question is, are you willing to die for this gospel? I'm not asking you to kill yourself, don't worry about it. Everybody's like, I'm not asking you to, you know, do some crazy stuff, but I'm asking you, if you truly believe, then why are we still holding on to our lives? Why are we not abandoning our lives? Why are we not living fully for the Lord? Why are we still so afraid of what the world will say about us? Why are we so afraid of the people that we do not even know when they look at us in a strange way? Why? Because you still have kept your life. You have not given it away. And because of that, we can't fulfill the third part, to not live our life to the death. And when we don't live our life away, we cannot fully come to the understanding of the greatness of this God that's on the inside of us. Because we have not fully accepted, to be honest, the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you have fully accepted the testimony of the Lord, then you will know that your God is real. And you will have fear of nothing. You have fear of no lack. You have fear of no rejection, no abandonment. You have fear of not anyone, because the Lord, your God, is real. Amen. A witness is a person who saw and heard. But what the witness actually says in court is called the testimony. So you may be a witness, but if you don't speak, that is not your testimony. So what is your testimony? Why did Derek and I left where we were? We were successful. We were running a church of 30 over 1,000 people. I'm doing well in Singapore. I have a business. He is doing very well as an executive pastor. Why did we leave all that to come here to America? Because God called us here. And because we know our God is real, we are willing to abandon everything and come. No family, no nothing. We just start because our God is real. You see, I have a testimony myself too. I didn't have a father. I grew up with a single mom. She was unwed. I was abandoned by my father, but God adopted me as his daughter. And I came in the history of poverty, and we were so poor. I hated being poor. But yet God showed me that He can reverse that when I follow Him. Today I have a business. Today I have more than enough for myself. I'm a gospel patron. I used to be rejected and broken, abandoned. I always feel rejected. But God came and adopted me and began to heal my heart. You see, the evidence of all that tells me my God is real. And that's why we are willing to abandon all to follow this God that is real. The gospel may be the greatest deception of all humanity, or it can be the most wonderful salvation story. The jury of this house will have to make a conclusion if this is the most wonderful story, salvation story, then today this court will appoint you to be the bearer of good news, to go and tell so that the world can come and see. The Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Yes. Seek and you will find. Knock and the doors shall be open. Are you asking for salvation? Are you seeking people whom you need to tell the story? Are you knocking on heaven's door for them so that they can cross over from death into life? Stand up with me today. You know what I discovered? You know, I was very much like a lot of them. In my early years as a believer, it was so hard to tell my story because I was more concerned about what other people think than what God thinks. I was more concerned about people, you know, rejecting me rather than having that opportunity to share Christ with them. Then I encountered the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came into my life, He gave me a boldness to be able to share Christ openly. Be able to be used by God wherever I go. So I know that the key to having that boldness is to have the Holy Spirit. So full of the Holy Spirit that you have no choice but to testify. You have no choice but to be a witness above and beyond whatever you actually experience in your natural life. The conviction, the faith that God is real and He will do what He